So, Agatha all along.
Yes, Chad has tricked me into watching a Marvel vehicle. No.
I mean, I feel like it'll happen sooner rather than later, because the lore of Catherine Hahn and sapphic things may get you.
No, I'm good.
Catherine Hahn, sapphic things.
I'm good.
Witches.
Actually really good. No, actually, you know.
Patti LuPone.
So good on Patti LuPone. No, actually, I didn't know that Sasha Zamata was in it. And I saw her post on Instagram. And I was like, oh, shit. I guess, should I watch it for her? But I was like, I'm not.
I was going to say, hey, if that's going to lure you over, that's fine as well.
I was like, I'm not fucking getting like, I'm not interested. Maybe I'll torrent it. But I'm not fucking streaming it. You cannot have my money, sorry.
You cannot get my numbers for your Nielsen ratings.
Absolutely not. Is that even a thing anymore?
Yeah, it is.
Like with streaming?
Mm-hmm. They track streaming and stuff too.
Mm. Anyway.
It's crazy. It's like listed in my Hulu stuff. I remember seeing that when I was like looking for how to bundle my subscriptions.
Oh, yeah.
Which I have, and I figured that out, and it's going great. Really? I'm essentially getting Disney Plus for free.
I'm so happy for you.
Either that or Max, I don't know. But
I'm really happy for you.
Speaking of Max, let's throw it back to a little HBO show that a few of you may not have ever heard of. It's kind of, it's very niche. It came on about, like, 30 years ago. I was about to say 40, and I'm like, that's not right.
Well, you know, not far from 40.
We can't say that.
What was the first episode? Was it 1998?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it ran for 6 seasons, so, until 2004, which is kind of funny. You'd think it would have, like, lasted longer than it did, but I'm like, only 6 seasons and 2 movies? 2 hella long movies. Those movies are, like, almost 3 hours apiece.
The longest movies you've ever seen for no reason.
Yeah, and I haven't even watched the second one. The first one felt like such a slog to me.
You've never seen the second one?
No. The first one was just, like, torture to me at some point. I'm like, I would rather watch 5 whole seasons in a row than watch this movie.
Yeah, I watched the second one night with my friends, and we all drank white wine and watched that fucking movie. And I was like, guys, this is the gayest thing we've ever done.
I mean, it seems like that is the way that it is meant to be enjoyed.
Yeah, like truly, truly. Yeah, we're talking about Sex and the City. I don't know if we actually said that.
I feel like it was hinted at.
Do 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 do.
Do 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 do.
So iconic.
Remember when theme songs used to be jazzy, like that, and then Will and Grace.
I know.
You knew you were in for a good little gay time with a little jazzy theme song.
God, the late 90s.
Frasier.
Frasier, and it's also him singing.
I forgot about that. Like, why did he do that? Do you think he wrote that into his contract? It's like, I have to sing the theme song.
No, I think it was just the 90s in television, and they were like, hey, Kelsey Grammer, come sing this. And he was like, okay.
He's like, you know what I also
do? Got it.
Music. I play the piano. Actually, you play the piano, jazz man. Hit it!
Tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
I know. What the fuck is he even talking about in that song?
I don't know. Is it a sex thing?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Mercy.
Maybe.
It's kind of funny that the Sex and the City theme song doesn't have any lyrics, but I'm glad that it doesn't. It didn't need any.
Yeah, well, it was HBO, which was like, you know, at the time. I mean, we all now know it as Max.
Yeah.
The
streaming service, but they do still have the HBO channel.
No. I know. I understand that. But
I just have to tell people out there who don't have like cable. It's like, it does still exist, people.
Right. No, it is still an entity.
The prestige network that it is.
But, you know, I feel like at the time it was like such a like, I mean, I guess it is still really a prestige network, you know, but it was kind of like the only one at the time. It was like the prestige network.
Yeah, it was.
You know,
like Showtime was trying to become them.
Right. Yeah.
And they got kind of close for a little bit.
Right. And like now we have like Stars, we have AMC, like, you know, there's a lot of different like.
I know. AMC literally always ends up in the award circuit, and yet no one knows those shows. I think some guy won for, like, I think it was, like, directing or, like, writing or something, like, the Emmy this year, and it was for some show on AMC that I'm like, I've never even heard of that.
Yeah. Well, AMC, didn't AMC have, like, True Detective?
And no, that's actually HBO.
Oh, it is? Oh. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I haven't seen that. I don't know anything. Yeah, all the AMC shows just went on Netflix. So like Interview with the Vampire, and like Better Call Saul, and all those are on there now.
Sidebar about that.
About
how
what?
About when those when all of those shows went on to Netflix?
Yeah.
I was very upset that the Witches show, I forget what it's called, Witches is something. Whatever the one that's
Discovery of Witches?
No, the other one.
Which is
the one with Alessandra Daddario.
Oh.
But when that, like, when they were on, when they got on Netflix for the first, like, week or two.
Yeah.
That was in the top 10. And I'm like, why is that one in the top 10 when it should be Interview with a Vampire? Because it's a much better show. I've watched both of them, and that Witches show was so goddamn boring. I wanted to blow my brains out.
It did not look good from what I saw of it. I haven't seen Interview with the Vampire, but you know,
much better.
You know, the Tumbly Poos are fucking obsessed. So,
oh yeah, I mean, gays, vampires,
yeah, a little French blonde man. Like, let's let's have a party.
A little French bot. You make him sound like Lord Farquaad.
Is he not? I don't know. I've never seen the show.
Is he not?
That's what he seems like to me.
You're not too far off. You're not too far off.
Right. He's a fancy little man.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that next if I ever watch it.
Oh, please. I'm so excited for season 3. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. So, Sex in the City. So, yeah, I feel like when it came out, it was like, you know, we were on the, like, top prestige network. It was about women having sex, which at the time was, like, fucking revolutionary. Like, this was unheard of, that women could just go out and have casual sex and whatever. And it's funny, like, looking back on it now, 30 years later, being like, okay, we've had so much more media beyond this, but I feel like a lot of it actually came out of this. Like, this, yeah, like, set the tone for a lot of different things that came after it. And kids these days don't even know. I mean, they might, because this show is still iconic, but...
I'm, yeah, like there's clips on TikTok. It matriculates to them at some point.
I feel like the fashion is so big now because, like, Y2K had such a, like, comeback in fashion. So, like, now on Instagram, mm-hmm, I see all the time, like, reels of people doing, like, I'm recreating Carrie's outfit or, like, blah, 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 blah. Like,
yeah, because it wasn't just like, the Y2K trend of that. It was also, like, New York Y2K, which, right, was very specific. It was very, like, chic and upscale, but also, like, you know, stripped down, if that makes sense, like, effortless. It's supposed to seem like that.
Mm-hmm.
But each one of these women had, like, a distinctive style, and you could kind of, like, it was very, like, well represented throughout the series, especially, like,
yeah,
with their careers and their lifestyles and the type of women that they were. You're like, oh, yeah, they're all friends, but, like, none of them dress alike per se because, like, they're very different people.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't know what order you want to do this in, but can we talk about Miranda's style? Like, because I'm even in the picture behind you. I'm looking at her outfit.
I like how you're like, let's start with Miranda. Okay, I was going to say let's start with Charlotte.
Well, I mean, like, do you want to talk about the characters first?
Yeah, we could do it all. Let's do it all at the same time. So we'll just do this character by character.
Mention
so.
It all.
Starting with Miranda. Yeah. Oh, I did want to mention. I don't know if everyone knows who the creator of this series is, Darren Star, mm-hmm. but he did go on to do other shows like Younger and Emily in Paris. Deport Emily today.
God.
He has tried to continue to create these like roles for women, especially like different types of women, because you know Younger was a very different show where it was like, you know, this older woman pretending to be younger and then go back into the workforce.
I love and Younger.
Love I did too younger. I just never bought that they're all like, oh my god, you look like you're 26.
I know you like, you always had that issue with it, and I'm like, it's not even that she looks 27, it's that she it's like the suspension of belief that she walked in there pretending to be 27, so they all just bought it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And it wasn't just that. She also met several other women who were definitely, like, around her age, and they were like, oh, yeah, you're younger.
But
and
I'm like okay, we're not going to talk about younger, but it wasn't even about how she looked. It was, like, that she just was like, I'm going to pretend to be this. And so people believed her because she just was like, I don't know. Anyway, yeah.
Love that actress, but great show. Yeah. I mean, Emily in Paris also has its moments, but at the same time, I'm like, I really wish that, I don't know. I kind of wish that show was more of like an Eat, Pray, Love type scenario where it's like, yes, I'm in Paris now. And then like another season, she goes someplace else. She's like, I'm in South Africa now.
I saw somebody on Instagram the other day that was like parodying like every Emily in Paris scene where she like goes and pitches something and like she's not prepared at all. And she's like, it's just like this chair, blah, blah, blah. And they're all like, oh, yes, I love it, Emily. And then she's like getting a text from her boyfriend at the same time. I'm like, this is literally my problem with the show is that it's so like not earned like when Emily does things.
Anyway. Yeah, it's nothing like Sex and the City, which all of it felt very organic. It was very like lightning in a bottle with this one.
Yes, like, and that is what's so interesting. Like, you're talking about Darren Star's like later work, and it's so interesting to me that this, like, Sex and the City, in comparison to his later work, feels so much more grounded and so much... I mean, obviously, it still is like slightly
sensationalized.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like slightly soapy, like we're, you know, romantic, whatever. But there's something about it that is still feels really realistic that I feel like his other shows are kind of missing. And I'm like, girl, what happened in between? Like,
right. He just decided to go like full like fanfic or something. Because even a little bit of the sequel series of this and Just Like That, which we can talk about like at the very end. But
I haven't seen any of it, but yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I've seen all of it, but it's just very interesting on like how they decide to like, especially with that particular series, they like realize like, oh, we don't have any diversity, which some of like his later series, he tried to like rectify that issue. But it's interesting like the way that they go about it, because it's not like it breaks away from the original format of what they do with Sex and the City. It's just that they're older women. So I feel like while we have like we feel our way about like the original cast as older women and they're doing like they're how their lives have changed, when we like meet older women and it's like we're introduced to their lives and blah, 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 I'm like, okay, well, if you're not doing like housewives stuff, like you're kind of boring. Like, I need you to do like throw a desk, something. Because it just, like, finding out that Carrie is, like, has a whole slowed down lifestyle right now as an older woman, that's totally fine. But introducing a whole another older woman and you're like, I mean, you're not boring per se, but.
Well, but also I feel like in that sense, like, if it were its own show about older women, that's fine. Because, like, we have, like, you know, Grace and Frankie, which is like, you know, older women and men and stuff, like doing their own thing. And that's what the show is about. So, but to like do it on just like that, it kind of detracts from like what the original
thesis was.
Yeah. Like what the original series kind of gave, which I was also going to say too, like, I love, like, I always forget watching season one that like,
Carrie... Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
What?
Oh, I was going to say, we have to talk about like how different season one is from the entire rest of the series.
Yeah. Well, for sure. But Carrie is already like, what, 34? Like, these are not women in their 20s. I mean, I think Charlotte is technically supposed to be like in her late 20s. She's like younger than the rest of them. But
which is so funny because she never felt that way ever.
Well, I think it's like her, like she's like supposed to be a little bit more naive in a way. I don't know.
That's funny. Naive. I felt neurotic.
But yeah, she's very, she's like old fashioned. But yeah, like, and then Samantha's like in her late 30s already. So like we already kind of have like a range in the original series of like ages, and also like women that were kind of even older than we were used to seeing at the time. I feel like a show like this, they would have like pitched it and been like, these women are in their 20s, they're young, they're like hip, whatever. But like, these are women
the
with like
girls, the TV show.
Okay, let's not. Let's not. But yeah, exactly. And like, these are women with like full-blown like careers and like lives, like they're just in their late 20s, 30s, unmarried, you know, unattached, like, and that was like kind of unheard of at the time. So season one is I always forget about the fucking like people talking to the camera. It's so funny.
Oh, the little cutaways of like,
yeah,
it seems like a inside the head thing, but it was more like, I think they were going with like a talk confessional thing, because that was kind of big in the 90s, because they also had, I don't know if that came on HBO or not, but it was like Taxi Cab Confessional or something like that, and that was very big.
Yeah.
Just because like, it was real people, and it was kind of like this raw thing of like, just people in the back of taxi cabs, like... having this like weird confessional with their drivers, which I mean, a lot of people can relate to, because you know, like we all Uber and stuff these days, and like randomly you just be talking to your Uber driver and they just, you be having the randomest conversations from like street signs to like, my dog died yesterday.
Oh my God. I had the wildest Uber driver in Phoenix that picked me up. Like, it was the first night I got there and it was so late. And she picked me up at the airport to take me to the hotel. And like, she was so nice, but she was like blasting Jesus music. She like ended up telling me about this like 3-month-old child she was about to adopt that like... like God put in her life, and like, just, I mean, and oh, and her son, and this like whole thing, who was like, her son was already like in his 30s and she was about to adopt this like baby. It was like, it was the wildest. I was just like, all right. And then she took me to Jack in the Box. But
yeah, you could just drop me off right up here.
Well, I told her I'd never been, and she was like, oh my God, you have to go to Jack in the Box. I was like, okay.
Did you get the mozzarella sticks like in Life Partners?
No. Oh, that's so funny. I should have. No, I got fries. Curly fries.
Nice.
They were good. They were fucking good. And they were so good at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
When I hadn't eaten. But yeah, I think that's what they were going for. Season one. Like, it was supposed to be like, oh, this is like real people, you know? But yeah.
Really bringing the element of the city into the show. Because
sex,
that's
and the city. New York is the fifth character.
She is.
In this show.
A little lady I like to call New York.
That episode where Carrie's like, I'm dating New York. So funny.
Much like Big, New York had no idea either.
New York had no idea what was about to hit it. So yeah, so we can get into the characters.
Miranda. Let's start with Miranda, my favorite character.
Miranda? Have you seen those?
Steve, are you here? It's like the spirit of Steve.
Have you seen that girl on Instagram? I think she's probably on TikTok too. But she like does the Steve impression. Have you not seen this?
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh my God. She's so good. It's just her being Steve and she just walks around and she's like, Miranda? And it's so fucking funny.
Because it's very accurate.
Oh,
that's
so good.
Steve in a nutshell.
Oh man, I love Steve. We can get into Steve later. But yeah, Miranda, I guess we should also say that you are a Miranda.
I am.
And I am a Carrie, unfortunately. But that's just
it happens.
The way it is.
But we should have known that because she says, she has like a quote in one of the episodes where she talks about like wild horses or something at the very end of the episode. She's,
what, Carrie?
It's something along the lines of like,
maybe women aren't meant to be tamed. Maybe they need to run free until they find someone just as wild to run with.
Something to that point. And I was just like, Sagittarius.
Yep.
I don't know if she is one, but I'm like, that's very...
That is Sag energy. So much. I should also.
So, do you want to start off by picking on Miranda's wardrobe? Is that what you want to do?
I'm not picking on it. I just sometimes watching this show, I feel like the other three, and this is probably what it is the other three have such clearly defined personal styles that like go so well, like in harmony with their character. And then sometimes I'm like, what the fuck did they put Miranda in? Like, what is she wearing? Like, I feel like it's probably just the fact that the other three are so, like, you know, well done. And
yeah,
maybe also part of it is that, like, the character of Miranda doesn't care as much about what she's wearing as the other three do.
Mm-hmm.
But
she did also like wear, I feel like she wore more color than most of the rest of them.
Samantha wears, I don't know if that's a lot of color.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if that's 100%, but I'm like, well, this photo is a bad example, I feel like. But
she's in like neon orange. Like,
I know, that's why I'm like, this is a bad example. Because she's a redhead, duh. But no, I think part of what went into her wardrobe is kind of like this duality of her character. So there was like this professional Miranda where she was just always wearing suits. Mm-hmm. So that I feel like whenever she was doing like wearing her casual wear, it was very much completely the opposite.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this outfit is like very much different than like the pantsuits that she's typically in.
Right.
I would say like, I don't know, they do a good job of splitting her between like 50-50 of like when she's like in her work attire and when she's like in her casual wear.
Yeah. That's very true.
She's always been an interesting character to me because she makes a lot of valid points, but she's very blunt about what she's talking about.
Oh, I love Miranda. I wish I was a Miranda. Like, are you kidding me? Like, she is like the most, supposed to be the most sensible, I guess, of the four.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a lot of ways, like, she's the most, like, down to earth. But I find myself, like, very often agreeing with her watching, like, the episodes. I'm like, why is no one listening to Miranda? She's, like, fucking right.
You know, it's too – whenever you hear it too often, you're just like, whatever, Miranda. Whatever you got to say.
Like, somebody has to be that friend.
Yeah. Just, like... What's funny is, like, because her character was always – out of the, like, they're all career women, but
yeah.
Out of the four, she was the one who, like, was kind of pegged as the one who was, like, hyper-focused on her career because she's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her goal for, like, a really long time was she was trying to make partner before a certain time period.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. Like, it was part of her, like her 10-year plan or whatever the fuck they call it.
Yeah.
Whatever they were calling it back in the day. But she was, like... very hyper-focused on her career, but she also, like, I love that they balanced her time with her dating life because she would still, like, she wasn't the, like, sexless one. She was also, right. Like, doing just as much, if not more so, and then having the craziest scenarios. Like, when she was dating that guy who lived in her building.
Yeah.
Which was, I mean, I did like him, but I was like, this is just not going to work well. Like, I just, this is just a bad idea.
Well, because that's after Steve, right? Because Steve comes in, like, pretty early. He's, like, season two, I think.
Yeah, because they, like, they dated, and then they broke up, and then they got back together again.
Yeah, and then they meet on the bridge in the movie. And then they break up, and just like that, which I don't want to talk about that right
now. It's kind of hilarious. Like, what the semi-character assassination they did of Miranda is, like, kind of hilarious. Well, like, I have to scream. They're like, you know what? We're going to make Miranda a lesbian now. And I'm like, what?
I mean.
Which is, like, it's fine, but it was just, like, so left field. Yeah. Because I'm like, her character, they never hinted that in her character in any of the earlier part of the
series.
No, there's
literally an episode in season one where it's, like, one of the first episodes where she's trying to make partner at her firm, and they, somebody at her firm thinks she's a lesbian, so they set her up with a woman, and then...
Oh, yeah, I do remember.
You remember this? Yeah, and then the guy, the one guy at her firm is like, oh, you and whatever, Brenda, should come over for dinner, and then she, like, takes this woman to dinner to, like, make partner, but then they literally conclude the episode with her being like, I'm sorry, I'm straight. Like, it's kind of like a comedic moment, but, like, and then, like, to, like, that's literally one of the first episodes. And then you, like, go back on that. It's so funny.
I have a feeling that Cynthia Nixon was just like, I don't want to, I just don't want to do any more of these scenes with men. Please just don't make me do it.
I can understand that, but, like, come on, it's Steve. Like, Steve is already, like, pretty much a lesbian. Like, what else? But I understand he has a penis, but, like, what else do you want? Like, Steve is, like, the perfect guy. He's, like, a lesbian-coded man.
Yeah, like, which is why they worked so well.
Right, exactly. That is exactly why.
He was the feeling part of their relationship because she was the thinking part.
Right.
Which I think made for an interesting dynamic. I feel like Steve is really kind of like her only prominent boyfriend that really throughout the series stuck out, other than the guy that she dated in her building. And didn't that almost end up with her, like, getting evicted or something like that? Like, he was on, like,
I think
she was trying to, like, buy her apartment or something. And they, like, he was on the board or something.
Yeah. I don't even remember that guy's name, to be honest. I also remember the guy, I think it's because I saw season one and two, like, somewhat recently, but there's that other guy she dates for a while in season one that's kind of like the pre-Steve. Like, he's kind of like an uglier Steve. Like, he has glasses. I think he's like Carrie's friend.
Oh, okay.
And
I think I vaguely remember this guy.
Yeah, he's like a nerdy kind of guy, and she hooks up with him, and then he's like obsessed with her, basically. He's like in love with her. But yeah, no, I love Miranda.
Because she's the bomb.com.
She is. She's the bomb.com. But I also love, like, how they characterize her. Like, she's not necessarily self-effacing, but, like, she has a lot of moments where she's, like, very, like, she stumbles. She's, like, very hard on herself as well. And she's, like, very honest about who she is as a person, like, to a fault. And it's really interesting, especially in opposition of, like, Carrie, who's, like, so DeLulu sometimes. You're just, like.
It's true.
And I'm, like, to me, like, the Carrie-Miranda friendship is, like, one of the most interesting dynamics on the show because it is so realistic to me. Because I'm like, this really is, like, two friends who are, like, very different but, like, kind of need each other in their lives because they sort of bring something to each other's lives in, like, a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I love them. They're, like,
I've also, so like, to me. Really wanted to know, like, how they became friends. Like, throughout, like, this series, I think they, like, randomly mentioned, like, how some of them became friends. But, I mean, like, I know Carrie and Samantha have been friends for an extensive period of time of, like, and we know that because of the Carrie Diaries of, like, when Carrie first moved to the city, Samantha was like one of the first like friends or something she made in the city, which is why they've known each other for so long or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, I've always wondered about like Miranda and Carrie because they've they seemed like friends from college type, like a type of scenario. But I never really knew, especially since like, again, like, that part isn't in the Carrie Diaries.
Darren Star's other lesser known show.
Yeah, I also like often forget about that. I just like randomly remembered it in this instance because I'm like, oh yeah, they did do Samantha in like one of the last two seasons or something.
That would have been interesting if like, I mean, I understand that wasn't the point of the show, but like if they had continued like with the showing how we met all the characters and kind of where they came from, like
that would have been cool, like just to see how the series kind of like meet,
because
like at this point you kind of do have like a three-parter right now, especially within just like that.
Yeah,
but most people don't even know that the Carrie Diaries exists because it was on the CW,
and that's fair.
Yeah, it's valid. I mean, it's an okay show. I think if it had been, well, see, I was about to tell a lie. I was about to say if it had been on Netflix, it would have been a different type of series. No, and I'm like, that is not the truth.
That's probably not true. It also would have been canceled after one season.
Now that is true, Ellen.
Yeah, I know they meet Charlotte like later. Like she's kind of a newer friend to them. That's like canon within the show because there's like certain times when they'll like talk about stuff like people that the three of them knew and she doesn't know. Like there's like certain things.
Yeah, I think Charlotte is Carrie's friend, like a recent friend of Carrie's. I think she mentions that in like one of the first, like it's pretty, I think it's in the first season because it was it had to do with, like, all of them hanging out. And I think, like, Miranda and Samantha were just like, They're like, do we have to hang out with her?
But that's, like, an interesting point about Carrie that I never thought of before is that she probably is the one that got the four of them together. Like, because they're all her friends that then all became friends. And I was thinking about this, like, rewatching season one a while back, because I was like, there's so many scenes where, like, they're just out and Carrie runs into somebody she knows. And I'm just like, this bitch knows somebody everywhere.
Everywhere.
Like, it's just always a random, like, person. Again, very Sagittarius. Like,
right.
If she's not a Sagittarius, I will be shocked. But, yeah, no, that's an interesting, I mean, she is technically, I guess, the main character in a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways. Or is it New York? Anyway, so let's talk about
New York.
Charlotte
is the fifth Beatle.
New York is actually Yoko Ono.
She breaks them all.
That's why Carrie and Samantha don't talk anymore.
Yeah, so Charlotte.
Charlotte, the younger yet very responsible of them all.
She's more old-fashioned than the rest of them, which is,
yeah.
I guess the irony of her being younger is that she's, like, more traditional. And then Samantha being the oldest, and she's the most, like, you know, sex positive.
Yeah. So I think that's, like, how they, like, kind of wanted to set them up as, like, the opposites in the group. Is Samantha is the opposite of Charlotte, and then Miranda is kind of the opposite of Carrie. Because whereas Carrie's like whimsical, Miranda thinks before she leaps, and then you know, Samantha's very
open.
Go with the flow. Yeah, open. Let's go. I was just gonna say go with the flow because she's very like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know how to describe Samantha. Samantha is very much just a lightning in a bottle character where they're like, I feel like she very much became the archetype for a lot of female characters moving forward past that point.
Yes.
But
and a lot of drag queens.
Truly. Well, see, now I feel like I'm just talking about Samantha, because I was going to say, because I'm like, but in the, but really, isn't she just kind of like a younger Blanche Devereaux?
True.
In a lot of ways, is this not Golden Girls, the young years?
The younger years.
Before they moved to Florida.
Right. That is the "and just like that" we need. It's just like a full-on sitcom laugh track. Like, these bitches hanging out in a retirement home.
But who's Sophia?
Which one's that? Mm-hmm. Oh, the mom. Older... Is that the mom?
Why do I feel like it would be Charlotte?
That's Charlotte.
Anyway, back to Charlotte. So
no, it's really interesting that you say that they're like the two opposites, because they're my two favorite dynamics of the show. Like, I love whenever Charlotte and Samantha have like some sort of plot or some sort of like opposition to each other. And I love like the Carrie and Miranda friendship. So that's funny that you say that, because I feel like they're my two favorite like dynamics to watch in the show.
Yeah, I think I don't know if it's like often, but I see it every once in a while, that clip from one of the episodes where they're like at brunch or something, or lunch. I think they usually do lunch. Mm-hmm. But Samantha says, "I'm dating a man with the funkiest spunk." And then Charlotte just gets up and leaves.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love them. But I feel like that is Charlotte. Like, that's just Charlotte in a nutshell. Like, she's just like, she'll like sit there and talk with them about sex stuff, but like, she has her limit.
Yeah.
She's like, I will only go so far with this.
Right. Which is a fun dynamic with her character, because she's been one of the ones where they have to, like, they've used her as a vehicle to, I think, because I feel like her character represents a lot of, like, women who come to, like, big cities who have traditional values, mm-hmm. who, like, want to, like, be, you know, liberal and, like, whatnot, but also want to stick to, like, what they truly still believe is the right path for them and the right thing for their life.
Yeah.
Or, like, where it works for them. Because especially, like, with, like, what happens with her marriages, mm-hmm. and, like, her relationship, or the way that those relationships play out, especially, like, with the first husband, mm-hmm. where Kyle she McLaughlin. Felt like, yeah, I often forget that's him until, like, randomly I'll be like, oh my god, that is Kyle McLaughlin.
So funny.
But, in that marriage, it was very much like she was trying to do, like, everything right. And in a lot of ways, she did. It just, like, wasn't working.
Right.
And it wasn't her fault. And she just, it wasn't something that she can, like, reconcile. And I think, like, that was her character has been a very important one, especially for representing, I think, a lot of the average everyday woman, especially like across America, like where they could see themselves and like opening up to these different ideals of being like, you know what, it's okay to like have a failed marriage, then like your second marriage is actually like the better one because you found the right one for you, which is still funny that like he was her divorce lawyer.
I know, it's so good.
And the fact that that is I do too, and he's a great guy, but the fact that that's also, like, a actual statistic of, like, women marrying their divorce attorneys is kind of insane.
Oh, really?
Me. Yes, there are so many of them. It's kind of crazy.
I love that so much. Good for you, ladies.
But also in just, like, that, well, she, also, before I get to that, like, I was going to say, like, in the later seasons, Charlotte also has, like, issues with, like, fertility, and she has to, like, figure out how to, like, have the family that she always wanted, and then they adopt. And then she does end up getting pregnant, and then they have their child. And then, in just like that, that child is non-binary, and she had to, she was very much like, a what now?
That's really funny. I actually love that. I love that for Charlotte. Yeah, I feel like with her, like, you definitely, like, you needed a character that was the balance of, like, a little bit more
down to earth.
I don't even know if down to earth is, like, the word, but, like, just, like, I don't know. It just, it makes for an interesting mix if you have, like, one character that's maybe not so, like, sex positive. I'm using air quotes.
Or left, I guess left leaning. Is that the right way to say it? Because right. I'm like, she doesn't feel exactly like a Republican, but she's definitely a moderate.
Oh, I think she's fully a Republican in yeah. the first series. Like, because first of all, very different political climate. You could still like be a Republican and be a decent human being back then. But no, I think like they also like could have very easily made her character like really buttoned up and like not have like she still has as much sex as the rest of them. It, like we were saying with Miranda, like could have very easily made Miranda like sad cat lady.
Yeah.
But like no, like they all are like in their own ways, in their own unique ways, and this is what's so good about it, like go about their own like sexual journeys, I guess, but like in different ways. So it's not just like, oh, four women going out and being promiscuous. It's like four very different women going out and like having sex and living their lives in their own ways because they're their own people. Like not everybody is experiencing the same thing, you know? And that's like part of what made it seem so realistic. Like,
yeah,
you know, even though it was like very romanticized in a lot of ways.
In love relationships, there is a fine line between pleasure and pain. In fact, it's a common belief that a relationship without pain is a relationship not worth having. To some, pain implies growth. But how do we know when the growing pains stop and the pains take over? Are we masochists or optimists if we continue to walk that fine line? When it comes to relationships, how do you know when enough is enough?
Yeah. Although, like, Charlotte did end up with, like, the best apartment. Because she also had, like, the coolest, like, career. Well, like, her and Kim Cattrall actually had, like, two of the cooler careers, I would say. But, like, yeah. her being, like, an art dealer was just, like, really cool to me. Because I've just always love. Thought, like, being an art dealer was really cool.
Love.
You're like, I sell art in this museum.
Well, let me just say, it's fucking not, because that's what my dad does. it's not. But, no, you know what was so funny was when I started watching Charmed, and what's her name is like a...
Oh, Prue.
Yeah, she's like
she works at an art house,
museum.
Auction house,
curator.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And I was like, I love that there were like 2 to 5 jobs you could be on TV in the 90s. There's just, like, a list of, like, 6 jobs. Like, one of them is, like, art dealer slash museum person. One of them is chef. One of them's lawyer. One of them's writer. Like, those are the jobs.
You know, you know which one they haven't brought back in a while that's really interesting? Architect.
Mm.
Like, Mr. Brady.
Mr. Brady.
Yeah, the dad from the Brady Bunch. He was an architect.
Yeah, I know. I know that. That was just like a wild reference. Like there are so many other characters on television that have been architects.
And I think it's just Mr. Brady end of list.
No, I feel like every like man from like a Hallmark movie is like an architect. Like,
oh, true.
I feel like that's such a common like, oh, we need a random job for this guy. Oh, he's an architect. He makes a lot of money. Like,
or something.
Business.
That's a fun one. I think we'll like that will cycle back in television at some point soon.
What?
Or later. Just architect. That's just my prediction. Just random prediction. I'm throwing that out there.
There's going to be more architects on television. You heard it right here. You heard it here.
Well, you know, that's how we inspire the children to get other jobs. I think Abbott Elementary is going to make some kids want to be teachers.
It might. That would be cute.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Not in Philly, though.
Inner cities need school teachers.
Philly, I love you. You're trash.
You're trash.
But that's why we love it.
Speaking of trash.
Trash.
I really...
Yes, sorry.
I really did kind of, like, hate Kyle MacLachlan's character.
Oh, he's like, the worst. He's the worst. And, like, you know he's the worst from the beginning. But, like, it fully is, like, something that Charlotte's character needs to, like, go through. Because she's like, mm-hmm. This is it. This is the man I've been, like, dreaming of. This is, like, the prototype that I've wanted my whole life. And you're like, Charlotte, this is not, like, but... She goes through it, you know.
Yeah,
comes out the other side.
And I do like that. That I think that was also like, I don't know if like a per se a '90s trope, but like a commonality of what they were trying to go with in the '90s was like the shattering of that whole false fairy tale narrative that you put up in your head,
right?
Like what happens after the credits roll,
right? Right. Well, I love that line in the first movie where Carrie's like, I forget what she says, something to Big along that effect where she's like, you know, what happens after the happily ever after? And he's like, what happens? And she's like, I don't know. Stay tuned. Like, and I'm like, yeah, that is like, think about how many movies we see that are like, it ends with a wedding. Like, and that's right. It. That's it. And it's like, fuck you.
That's all, folks.
Yeah.
At least in Runaway Bride, they ride off on horses. And the wedding actually didn't happen. So you really don't know.
We always have Runaway Bride. Yeah, no, like, I feel like that was, like, such a big part of this show. Like
big?
We're not there yet. Was like exactly what you said, like taking these like romantic ideals and kind of like being like, okay, maybe that's not what you want or not what you like thought it was, but it's still good, you know.
You know what, this would actually be a really good time to talk just very quickly about the two minor gay characters that they have. The best friends.
True.
Charlotte's gay best friend and Carrie's gay best friend.
Anthony, I think. Is that his name?
I think it was Anthony, and then I can't remember the other one.
That guy who died.
Yeah, the guy with the glasses. But,
Shit, why can't I remember? Stuart is the only thing
Stuart,
I'm
thinking. Stuart, wait, it might be Stuart.
No, it's not Stuart.
Is it not Stuart?
I don't think it's Stuart. It's like Stuart or Garrett or something like that. Hold on.
Stuart! I think that's how Carrie and Charlotte know each other is through their gay best friends.
Stanford.
That's what it was. It did start with an S. But I think that is how they know each other is through the gay best friends.
Oh, really? I thought they introduced the gay best friends because then later they like
end
up together.
That's true. I'm making up a false narrative.
I like that. I was about to buy it. I would have bought that.
It's the right. We're rewriting history here.
It also seems, you know.
Probable.
Yeah.
Especially this day and age. It's like, oh, we only know each other because of our gay best friends.
Mm-hmm. Basically.
And then we started hanging out without them.
Yep. That's how I know most of my friends. Yeah, I love that they did the whole, like, let's just get the two gay characters together because there are two gay characters.
Yeah, but at least they did try it. They did make us work for it a little bit in the sense that Anthony did not like Stanford,
mm-hmm.
like, at all.
Mm-hmm. Which is extremely realistic of
it
gay
is true.
Men in real life.
Typically, they don't like each other. That is what I've come to find out.
We were just having this conversation too with my friends, and we were like explaining to our one straight friend, we were like, no, gay men, like, it's like they meet, they're like, do we hate each other? Do we want to fuck each other? We're going to be mean to each other. Like, that's just like how it is. It's like, that's the dynamic. Like, don't worry about it.
It's like dogs in a park. They like sniff each other, they like growl, fight. And the next thing out. You know, they're humping over in the corner, yeah, and you're exactly. just like,
and you're like, hey, hey.
Exactly.
Look at me. Come on, we have to go home. Come on. Come over here.
Sparkle, get away from here.
Come here. I have a treat. I have a treat for you. It's cocaine. Come here.
It's good.
I have your favorite.
I've got poppers for you.
God.
But it was a very interesting dichotomy between the two of them, especially since they were very kind of like similar but opposite gays.
Yeah.
They were both like affluent, but Stanford was like, he was from Carrie's world where they're much more like fashion-y.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
I think he was like a stylist, right?
I think he was. And then Anthony, well, I know like in just like that, he's a chef or a baker.
Oh, really?
I don't know if that was his original career.
I thought he came from like her art world.
He might have, yeah. But I'm just saying like that's his career in the second series. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what he did in the original show.
I don't know.
He was just like around.
Yeah. He was just like Charlotte's gay friend.
Gay unemployed friend on a Tuesday. Cause he was the one who like knew all of the random stuff. Like,
yeah.
He knew everyone. He basically was the one who was plugged into like the gay life of New York.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be that connection friend.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also kind of funny for like that to be Charlotte's friend.
I know.
Like, right?
But like, okay, but think about how realistic that is. Like, how many gay guys do you know that are friends with these straight women that you're like, they're all like prissy and you're just like, why? How do you hang out?
They're like, I don't play about my one friend. That's that one friend they don't play about. They're like, I would go to war for you.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just like, okay. I mean, we can all just chill out too. Like, I don't know. Feels realistic to me.
Yeah, I always loved that.
So, should we talk about Samantha? Should we move on?
Yes.
Did you
on to the other gay man of the show.
Part of me feels like you don't like Charlotte somewhat.
No, I don't dislike Charlotte. Charlotte's just, she always felt like a little bit of a vehicle character until, mm-hmm. like, later on where they could give her own personality. It's like mm-hmm. she was the one who had to, like, experience some of these things to, like, move the story forward, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. You're like, you need to understand these viewpoints. Let me just write that down.
Right. Yes. So, Samantha. We know her. We love her. I feel like if you're watching the show and you don't love Samantha.
I know. She was the zinger queen.
Yeah, she really was. I mean, they started to take it a little too far. If you've seen the second movie, which I know you haven't.
No, I haven't.
Oh,
but...
God, the puns. The puns. But yeah, I mean, like. Kim Cattrall, I feel like, too, like, didn't she do, like, movies in the 80s or something?
Yeah,
like,
she was in Mannequin, which is, like, right. I don't know why that's the one that stands out in my mind right. that yeah, she was yeah, in. Yeah. But she was in a couple of other movies as well. Mm-hmm. And then she also did Ice Princess with Michelle Trachtenberg,
mm-hmm.
where she was the mom. She was a bitch in that movie.
I love it. I haven't seen that in so long. I do remember that movie. That was a classic.
Yeah, so she was kind of a little bit of a movie star.
Well, I feel like she was just cast so well because she was somebody that, like, already had this, like, big... I mean, not that the others didn't, and I know Sarah Jessica Parker was, like, kind of a child star and stuff, but I feel like Kim Cattrall's casting of, like, being the older friend and coming in and like kind of already having like the experience that she did and kind of already being a sex symbol in the 80s was like so well done in terms of like informing her character as Samantha. Like,
yeah,
just that she, I don't know, they just like nailed it. And she is just so good at delivering those lines that I feel like anybody else, it would sound so bad, but she does it so well.
She had a level of nuance to this, like to her performance that really like fed into the character. It gave the character depth.
Yeah.
It gave her believability, especially like the way that she would react to certain things, like that one guy who cheated on her. That one guy, which I love that that clip. Mm. This man said he wouldn't marry me and then he cheated on me.
Yeah.
She's just like posting stuff about him around New York. And I'm like, LOL.
And the police back woman in the day is like, carry on, man.
Yeah. I'm like, LOL, back in the day, that's what you had to do. Like, you couldn't just go online and just send him a little blast or whatever. You had to physically go to Kinko's. Print up a bunch of stuff and then post it in places that you know that he would see it. His local coffee shop.
I love
his car.
It. We should still be doing that. Think about it.
Yeah.
like the effort that that takes, like that says something.
It's true.
That says something. I like her journey of like getting into relationships because it feels very, it doesn't feel forced. Like, because in the beginning, she's like really, really like opposed to like, you know, I guess traditional relationships and romance and all that. So she's like that viewpoint of the group where she's like, no, it's like we should just be having sex and having fun. And like, you know, she has like some lines about like having sex like men, quote unquote, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when she does eventually like start to get into like more traditional relationships and dating and stuff, it feels real. Like, it feels like we've earned it with her character because we've already, like, come through so much with her. And it's not, like, you don't feel like, oh, they're just, like, forcing this character into this for, like, a storyline, you know?
Yeah, because she very much wants to be in those relationships, especially because I feel like she, there's only really one that I can think of where she, like, actually was kind of committing herself to like one person. It was like that one older, was it an older guy? Like, it was a guy who was like maybe a little older than her, but he was like a businessy guy or something.
Well, there's the guy that she like, is that in the first season or second season where she's like, oh, like, yeah, let's do it, like, let's commit, and then he has like a small penis or whatever and she's like,
oh yeah,
I can't be with him.
So oh funny. Yeah, that guy,
so funny. But then there's also like, what's the young guy's name?
Yeah, but he kind of had to coax her into a relationship because she didn't want to be into one.
Yeah, but if...
But I think it was also because she was his manager.
Yes. Yeah. She's his, like, PR person. No, but again, like, it feels earned because we've, like, mm-hmm. we've already been through all these things with her character where, you know, it doesn't feel... It didn't feel like, oh, we're just getting her together with somebody because that's, you know, the trajectory of the show. Like, although right. I think, do they break up in the first movie?
I think they do. Yes, yeah, they do.
Because
she like kind of like lets him go, but I think they get back together at the end of the movie.
No, I feel like they. I feel like I remember. I don't know. I'll have to rewatch the first movie at some point, but. I feel like they, like, he's, like, working a lot. He's working late because he's a singer. And she's like, I'm not going to, like, wait for you. I'm not going to wait around for you. I'm not that girl. And then she, like, decides to break
That up. Would make sense that maybe happened at the beginning of the second one. Because maybe they do get back together in the second one because I'm, like, I'm pretty sure he, like.
I don't know if he's in the second one.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. I've never seen it anyway, so I'm just speculating here.
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
But anyway,
coming
Samantha.
Coming to you with false information.
It's truly. Unchecked. We're just like So this came to me in a dream. I'm not sure if it was an actual episode or if I'm writing a speculative script right now.
No, they definitely break up in the first movie. I just don't remember if they get back together. So that's that.
I don't think they do.
Okay.
But anyway, so Samantha, no notes. Great character.
Truly 10 out of 10. I think it's so funny that, like, when I see, like, people talking about Sex and the City or, like, parodying it in a lot of ways, they're always, like, quoting Samantha. Like, it's usually Samantha that gets, like, parodied, where it's, like, that very, like, jokesy, like, ooh, I'd like to take a bite out of him. Like, and I'm like, you're just doing Samantha. Like, you're not doing a parody of the show. You're doing Samantha. Like,
yeah.
And I feel
it's
like...
It's either that or Carrie's iconic typing on her articles.
I began to wonder. Yeah,
was I out of date or out of dates?
That was good. That could be an actual line for the show. That or I've seen so many people do the little like jog she does across the street.
Yeah. I think that's the new thing. I think that's like the new little trend that people are doing. They're like, give us your best Carrie run.
And it's so funny because like I've seen so many people be like, why does she jog like that? Why is she walking like that? I'm like, girls, New York.
Yeah.
First of all, you got to walk fast. Secondly, you got to get across that fucking street. A car will hit you. Have you been in
New
York?
Third, you're probably late because everyone in New York is kind of late.
Right, exactly. It's a busy city. But yeah.
The train was broke down.
Right? The train is not running, girl. You got to get there on those heels. But yeah, I feel like my end cap of Samantha is just that she really became like a, I don't know the word, but like a symbol of this show. Like she really is a standout of like a lot of like
a
people.
Paragon.
Yes. That's perfect.
I don't know if you're making fun of me or not.
I don't either. Let's move on.
And in that instance, I didn't know. Was she making fun of me?
And I couldn't help but wonder. Was she making fun of me?
Or was the fun being had by all?
Was she laughing at me or with me?
Kind of the best thing that, for me, came out of this series. I think it's really because it's become a bit of more of a meme in the in the most recent years, I would say over like the last 5 or so years.
Yeah.
But I do love that about Carrie. Like, I have a lot of issues with Carrie, but I do love her as a character.
Yeah.
She's a great character with flaws and whimsy and whatnot, but...
Whimsy.
Yes. Quite the level of whimsy. Here at Lady Whistledown's.
God. Let's not. Yeah. I love Carrie. I mean, yeah, like, she is so problematic. And I feel like, I mean, like, this was, like, this is what I was texting you about. This was, like, the incentive for, like, doing this. Because I just feel like in more recent years, like, as this show has been revisited, people, like, are so hard on Carrie. Like, people hate Carrie. And I'm like, look, fair. I understand. And in a lot of ways, compared to the other three, Carrie is so much more flawed and, like, in a lot of ways doesn't get the same growth that the other three do. Like, I feel like the other three kind of, like, they kind of have, like, more of a smooth, like, upward trajectory and then even out and, like, have little dips here and there. But, like, Carrie is just a fucking roller coaster. Like, her highs and her lows.
Maybe you have to let go of who you were. It makes it easier to become who you will be.
But I don't know. She's the main character. She's the narrator. Main character quotes, because it really is, you know, about the four of them. But, Like,
it really is about New York.
It really is New York, fifth Beatle, the fifth Golden Girl. But
I feel like New York is Sophia.
Right, exactly. New York is Sophia. New York is the house they all live in. I feel like, I don't know, just a lot of like drama just gets written into Carrie's character in order to like drive the show forward. Mm-hmm. So some of the criticism is fair and some of it isn't, because I feel like a lot of it is just to like, I don't know. Like, we're supposed to see her as like a flawed person who like does not make the best decisions. That's how we're supposed to see her. And I do think that the show could have let her like learn and grow from those lessons a lot better. But I also don't think that it's like, I'm like, it's okay that she kind of sucks. Like,
yeah,
that's just how it's supposed to be.
Right. It makes her a bit more realistic in an aspect, because it's like, you learn these lessons, but do you really? You just keep having to learn them over and over again, which was her entire relationship with Big. Mm-hmm. And I just have a lot of feelings about that particular relationship. I'm like, I know we constantly disagree on like Big versus Aiden, because I feel like prior to her cheating on Aiden with Big, I think that their relationship was probably her better relationship out of all of them.
What,
Aiden? I didn't care for some of the aspects in which he wanted her to change. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like they really should have met each other halfway with that. Mm-hmm. But Carrie also didn't want to push back. And I'm like, that's on you a little bit, because mm-hmm. you weren't saying certain things.
Yeah. I don't think we disagree as much as you think we do. Because I...
Oh, okay.
I think Aiden, out of any of her boyfriends, is probably the best relationship, like, that she was in. And does he come back in Just Like That?
Yeah. And he comes back in a weird way.
Okay.
Like, just in a way that I'm like, I don't really understand what you guys are doing with this, like, with their relationship. Right. Like, it seems like they're just inventing problems, where I'm like, I don't think you had to work that hard to give them mm-hmm. relationship friction.
Right. Right.
Like, there would have just been natural things that come up. Instead, they're just like, so we're together. We're going to buy a house together or whatever. He's going to, like, leave for 2 or 3 years until his son is out of high school. And I'm just like, why?
What?
I'm like, excuse me, what?
Oh my God. What?
I know. It was so just funny. So many things that didn't make any sense. I'm just like, where is the responsibility of the other parent in this scenario? I'm just, whatever. I digress. I don't want to get into it.
Yeah. Also, like, why do you need to do that in the first place?
Yeah. There are so many questions.
No, I do think that, like, my issue with, like, her relationship with Aiden is just, I felt like she's written weirdly in, like, certain places where she's with him. Like, you know, and I feel like, to your point, like, that's very true, where, like, he wanted her to change in certain aspects of her character that I felt like once they started, like, writing that in where she was, like, changing for him, I was like, I don't know. I didn't like jive with her character as much.
Right.
No,
I agree. Cause I'm like, girl, you're acting crazy.
Yeah.
That was part of the era, like that particular era, which is probably what, I don't know if it like ultimately led to what happened with her and Big, but at the same time, like that particular era, she was just going cuckoo bananas.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I don't know if that was particularly Aiden's fault, so.
Yeah.
The thing about her and Big, like, you just kind of have to buy it. Like, when it's just kind of, like, the, I don't know if it's, like, the thesis of the show. But, like, it's kind of the, like, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. in like, so in the like original book or like short story, wherever this came out of, right? It was like a collection of like short stories, I think, that were like written in the style of like Carrie's like
blog posts or articles, I guess.
Yeah, column, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like one of the very first, I think, things that comes out of that is big. So like that idea that like, oh, you just like you meet somebody and you it's like it's that type of relationship where it, you work through things and there's like things that come up and blah, 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 blah. But it's New York, it's romance, it's whatever. And I think that, yeah, with Big, like as much as I don't like him as a character and don't necessarily like him and Carrie together, like their relationship to me just feels like, oh, this is just part of the show. Like you have to like, you know, watch this because it's part of the show. Like, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like, this is going to be a wild comparison, but like, you know, Teen Wolf, where like Scott and Allison, you're like, okay, this is just what's happening because it's the show. Like, they're just in love and you just have to watch it happen, even if you're not invested.
Right. Like, you have to get past the initial. I think my only... Well, not my only issue, but my predominant issue with it was I very much felt like Miranda when, like, during that one conversation where she was like, look, if you're about to start stuff up with Big again, I don't want to hear about it. And I'm like, I was just in the same exact boat with her because I'm like, look, Carrie, I want to be here for you. I want to be with you on this journey, just me and you together.
Yeah.
But at the exact same time, you have to, like, open your eyes to the things that have been happening around you. It's like, you're like, hey, hello, sir. I want to be in a committed relationship with you. And he's like, no, thank you. But I will see you next Tuesday at exactly 5:15 p.m. So that we can, like, maybe get dinner and have sex. And then I won't see you again for, like, 14 days. Exactly. I'm like, it was very, like, weird stuff like that where I'm like, Carrie, it's not really that you – it's really that you're just allowing yourself to be treated this way. Mm-hmm. And it's
– yeah.
It was so perplexing because I'm like, for you to be so smart, you're being so dumb. And I get that that was, like, the character, but it happened for entirely too long. Yeah. And especially for her to end up with him at the end.
Yeah.
Him to, like – not show up to the wedding and you to still marry this man anyway? It was crazy.
Was that it, that he didn't show up? I thought she ran away.
No, she was at the altar. He didn't show up. And then he showed up, like, at the very end or something while, like, Miranda and them are consoling her, sobbing in her fucking gown on the street. And he's just like, Carrie, I'm sorry. And she, I was like, get out of here!
Right, I just remember her, like, running down the street in that, like, gigantic bear wank gown.
I know, so sensational. She's got, like, peacock
feathers glued to her fucking head.
Yeah, see, now, what I really would have loved is if they would have used that as a pivotal moment for her character to, like, evolve and be like, you know what, maybe I don't need Big. Which, I always thought that was the direction they were going in anyway, is this whole she didn't need Big in the first place, but... Then they were like, no, we still have to do, like, the whole fairy tale ending. I think maybe that's what it, like, that's, like, just a product of the time where they weren't ready for that type of narrative, especially for, like, a female-fronted character. They're like, no, she still has to end up with the guy because this is, like, technically a romance. And I'm like, sometimes the romance is finding yourself along the way.
It's the friends we made along the way.
Yes, it's New York.
Sometimes the romance is New York.
Miranda.
I love Steve. Yeah.
Only decent man on this show. Well, Steve and Harry.
Yeah, Steve and Harry. And then the young guys. I can't remember his name right now.
A Jew, a Gentile, and a baby.
Walk into a bar. no, I do. Yeah. I agree with that 100%. I think that part of, like, I feel like this show started out very grounded, and then once its audience kind of grew, there were a lot of things that they were like, oh, we do still have to, like, play to this audience of, like, middle-aged women trapped in, like, horrible marriages that are watching this being like, but I can end up with the rich man. Like, you know, I feel like there is a little bit of that going on in, like, the, especially the later seasons and the movies and, you know, all that. Whereas, like, when it started, it was like, oh, we're, like, we are playing to the audience of the women that we're portraying, you know, like, we're playing to these 30-somethings that are, like, you know, career-focused or single, you know, blah, 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 blah. Versus, like, yeah, there's definitely stuff at the end where I'm like, oh, we did not, like, need to.
We didn't, it, like, really,
you know.
Really, like, we were just talking about, I think we were texting about doing this episode. We were talking about how the chase scene with her, Carrie and the wife who broke her tooth.
Oh, my God. Love. So funny.
Like, that was insane.
Yeah.
Also, what, I keep forgetting the context for that one scene where Carrie shows up with just, like, a bunch of French fries and goes, bonjour.
I think that's when, oh man, when is that? She's like wearing a beret, right? She's got McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's when she's dating Big at some point, and there's some, like, thread of, like, through line in the episode about it, and she's like,
it was probably about her wanting to go to France or something, because she mentions that, like, several times in the show.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And he never takes her there. She has to end up taking her fucking self.
I know. He really,
well, he really is the worst. Did she like, she did, but then, like, didn't that French man that she dated take her there too?
No, hated that guy. The Russian guy.
Yes. Oh, he wasn't French. He was Russian. Okay,
right?
That might explain.
Was he Russian?
I don't know. If he was, that explains why I also hated him a little bit more.
I fucking hate that. He's the worst. Forget Big being the worst. Like, that guy, no. Get him off my screen.
Somehow he ended up just 1 point average above Berger. How? The world will never know. It's like you couldn't get any lower than Berger because, like,
no, I was gonna,
he literally was just,
bring up the post-it when you were talking about Samantha putting up all the flyers. I was like, yeah, it was that time where also he broke up with her on a post-it.
The girls were going through it.
So good. But I feel like that's also an aspect of Carrie's character that, like, I understand it's, like, not necessarily relatable, but it is part of that fantasy of, like, when you fall in love with somebody and you are acting a little cuckoo bananas, because, like, there's that scene too when, like, Big, I think, has a heart attack or has to have surgery or something, he's in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And she, like, shows up in, like, a candy striper, like, an old-fashioned candy striper outfit, and I'm like, that is part of Carrie's, like, personality that I'm like, I don't necessarily relate to that, but I understand the, like, what they're getting at in terms of, like, the fantasy of, like, I'm in love and I just want to, like, do crazy romantic things because I'm in love. And it's like,
I am someone who is looking for love, real love, ridiculous, inconvenient, consuming, can't live without each other love.
And then I'm gonna go write about it and, like, you know, like, she just is that, like you said, whimsical kind of, like, romantic character. Like, I think that out of any of them, like, she is the true romantic. Like, I don't think it's Charlotte. I think Charlotte is, like, the traditional romantic, and then Carrie is, like, the true romantic, where she's like, no, you're supposed to be crazy in love. You're supposed to do wild things, like, that you wouldn't do otherwise because you're in love with this person.
Like, yeah.
So,
and I think that's, you know, that's really, like, an aspect of her character that I've always gravitated towards, because it's like, you know, you want to be that open person. You want to be that type of personality.
Yeah.
And then you see her, like, make these mistakes and you're just like, cautionary tale, cautionary tale, cautionary tale.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, like we were saying about her, like, having growth. I will say that other than the setbacks of her, like, and Big, I will, like, through her relationships in those phases, I do think that she did mature between these guys. Mm-hmm. Like, from Big to Aiden to Berger, because, like, I think when she hit Berger, she was kind of, like, at her most mature, because she was like, oh, I'm becoming very successful in my career, and, like, I understand that that upsets you, but it doesn't have to. Like, we can work on this. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to meet him halfway. He just was not. Mm-hmm. He was not that dude. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like after that, with the Russian guy, well, I think Aiden popped up again after that. And
oh, does he?
Yeah, and that just didn't really work out because Aiden was still butthurt. He was still so pissed off.
It's so funny, though, that, like, Aiden does keep coming back.
Like, yeah, it's
like they keep bringing him back.
It's because they're meant to be. Like, he was the actual guy. Mm. Which, I mean, he just made the most sense. He was, like, she was town, he was country. It made... They were coming together. Opposites attract. They were Hallmark movieing.
Truly, truly they were. He fucking builds furniture, dude. Like, what else do you want in a man?
Like, builds it's true. Furniture,
has a dog.
I mean, that's what I want. Do you know how much furniture I've built that I don't want to? I'm like, please do this for me.
Is that from IKEA, though?
Some of it is. And every time I do, I fucking build it in reverse by accident.
In reverse?
IKEA distractions are kind of
how do but how but how do you build it in reverse?
Like, you, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Explain that to me, because that sounds like taking it apart.
No, it's just like you put some of the stuff the opposite way that you're supposed to build it. Like, they have, like, particular steps. They'll be like, because, like, say, for instance, you're building a box and you're just like, oh, it's very obvious, like, four sides, blah, blah, blah. They're like, no, you have to do this one specific step before that other one. Okay. Otherwise, you have, like, you fucked up the whole thing and you have to start over. Yeah. And I'm like,
okay, I see what you mean.
It's really crazy because it's literally, like, essentially just step 17. If you fuck up step 17, you're starting over.
Yeah. This is why I get all my furniture off the street.
Pre-made.
Or at thrift stores, because it's already made. And nice. Sometimes it's free. And I just have to go dumpster diving like a little raccoon.
Yeah. We love it. No, it happens with me too. People leave stuff on the street over here all the time.
I love it.
I know. People always moving out of the big city and then leaving their stuff.
Or just moving apartments.
Yeah.
Make it sound like people are abandoning LA. They're like, we gotta get out of here.
I mean, it seems like it, well, but...
it probably does happen.
They're all fleeing to fucking New York to live their Sex and the City life. It going on Netflix has really just inspired a bunch of people.
We have to leave LA. I do love the episodes where they're in LA and they all are like, we have to get back to New York. Like, Carrie can't smoke anywhere. There's, like, I forget, one of them, like, goes to a restaurant where it's, like, all vegan and, like, smoothies and stuff. And it's, like, not real food. I think it's Miranda.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I do remember that. And then she, like, met up with her one friend who, like, had a full-on eating disorder. He's just like, oh, yeah, I just chew the food to taste it. And then I spit it out. And I'm like,
yeah.
What do you mean? I'm like, you... I was so confused. I'm like, dude, you have to have, like, calorie intake. What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do you mean? Just starts crying. No, I literally am like, if I don't eat enough calories in a day, I start to get a headache and I feel like I'm going to die. Like, I don't know how these people do that.
I don't either. Just black out.
Literally.
Happily the day.
So... I think a good way for us to wrap this up is, how would we pinpoint top three iconic moments that we remember from the series?
Episodes or top three moments?
Top three moments that you remember from the series.
Top three moments.
Okay. I could go first.
Yeah, go.
Just to give you a moment. Go ahead. So Burgers Post-it. Absolutely.
Like her putting it up in the car window. I forget what the context of the scene is, but she's like.
I think she got arrested for smoking weed.
Yes, that's it. Oh my God. You're so right. She's in the cop car and she like posts it up on the window. I so remember that.
Yes. Kirsten Johnson's guest role where she was like, what happened to fun? And then she falls out the window. Iconic. The way that that's been like used is just like a great meme. Mm-hmm. Also, it's like, it's timeless. It truly is timeless because it could apply to literally anything. People are getting too serious about like pop music. What happened to fun? Falls out a window. Oh, God. And that's how she died.
So good.
And let's see, what's my third one? I feel like my third one is, and this one's like not as funny, but it's just what I often remember is they're like, I'm going to bed. When they go to that club bed and it's literally just a bunch of fucking beds. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, this was probably a mattress warehouse. I have to laugh. But
oh my God.
It was just crazy. This show definitely gave me like a false perception of like what nightlife was like, where it's like, you're going to go to this like very like shh, hush hush. You have to like figure out the address from like 15 other people. And then they'd like give you a postcard and you like it burns as soon as you read it or something.
Yeah. The episode of You're the Worst where they find the speakeasy.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that was, I mean, again, it's like very romanticized, very television, but I feel like that was a thing that was happening a lot in the 90s in New York, like late 90s, early 2000s, where like all of these new places were opening up with these like quote unquote concepts. Like everything was like, oh, we have to be like a concept. Like we're like a restaurant that only serves like air or like, you know, like I feel like that
okay,
was
but
starting
I kind of
want
happen. Them to bring that back. I want them to bring that back. Just concept event. Like, it doesn't even have to be, like, different places. It could just be, like, concept events or something.
Right. Well,
I feel like... It's probably, like, insanely expensive, though.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I feel like we should get back to that, like having themed things that are, like, different.
Interesting. Yeah.
I'm like, come on, we've come through COVID. Like, we're all, like, ready to, like, start having new experiences again. Let's like, let's do this. Like, let's revitalize. There he goes. Let's revitalize the like weird 90s club scene of New York. I feel like I'm really trying to remember like what are scenes that I like always, I feel like there are scenes that I always like think about. Definitely Carrie tripping on the stairs and the wife tripping on the stairs, breaking your tooth and everything. Like, I feel like that is just, like, so iconic of the show. Such a, like, iconic Carrie moment of fucking up. I feel like the episode where they go to the baby shower, I just...
Oh, yeah, and they take her shoes. That was so funny.
All of it. It's, like, so iconic. Like, the scene where they all, like, get in the car and they're like, does anybody know how to drive? It's so good. And then Samantha, like, they, like, Samantha's, like, all freaked out by the housewives. And then when they get back to New York, she throws an I don't have a baby party. It's so good. Like, just that whole episode.
The way I'm going to, like, co-opt that soon.
Like,
if one more fucking person gets married or has a fucking baby, I'm like,
oh my God.
I'm single and don't have a baby party.
Literally.
It's nothing but sushi and hard alcohol.
Literally. And then I'm trying to think of a third, like, I don't know. I feel like there's so many random things that stick in my mind from, like, watching this show as, like, a person who was probably too young to be watching this show. Even though I feel like I always watched the, like, what was it on, like, E, where they would, like, edit out all the really graphic.
All the, yes.
Sex stuff. So I very much remember, like, the first time I actually watched the unedited show, I was like, oh, okay, wow, I get it now. Like, this.
You're like, oh, this is risque. Oh.
There's, like, that whole episode in the first season where the guy is, like, taping all the women he has sex with. And then they're, like, him and Carrie are just, like, watching the tapes. Like, I was like, okay, yeah, this really, this was HBO, was, like, was doing this.
They're crazy. They're cuckoo.
They're cuckoo bananas. Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, a third. I feel like, you said the Post-it, and I feel like that is something. That and, like, Samantha putting up the flyers.
Yeah. Like, wait, I have another one, too. Carrie versus those chickens.
The what?
The chickens, like, when she was... Oh,
when they go to the cabin next, or whatever?
No, it's when she was, like, living next to, like, a vet hospital or something.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And they, like, they had, like, chickens or something that they put on, like, the roof. So, morning they would, like, caw-caw!
Yeah, 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 the crowing. Was that Carrie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just remember that, and that was really funny because I'm like... This is such a random side plot. Just like, Carrie versus chickens. I'm like, who did this specifically happen to in that writing room where they're like,
yep.
You guys will not believe this.
Exactly. I wonder if they, like, if the writer's room was, like, actually people that lived in New York in that time. Or, like, had similar, you know, experiences. Because, like, some of this stuff is so specific. Like, this had to have happened. Oh, the episode where they're, like, watching the people have sex in the house across, or the apartment across from Carrie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're just, like, going at it, and the four of them come over, and they're all just watching it. Like,
watching it as if it is a TV show.
I'm like, this has to have happened to somebody. That they were like called all their friends and they were like, come over, you have to fucking see these people.
And they're still what's funny is they had enough time to arrive with snacks.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh my god, yeah, so many good ones. I also love that the scene is getting quoted or like sounded or whatever on reels where the guy calls Samantha and he's like, I love my wife. I love you. And she's like, who is this?
Who is this?
It's so good.
I know.
So iconic.
Such a great series. Darren Star, you did that.
You did that. And you continue to torture us with Emily in Paris, but we will forgive you. We will forgive you because of Sex and the City.
Yes. And some of the funny things that have become and just like that.
Yeah, maybe if I get around to watching that, we can revisit, but I just can't comment on it other than like what I've heard from like my friends watching it or just like seen random like
I would stuff. Love to hear your thoughts on Che Diaz.
On what?
Che Diaz, it's one of the characters in the show, the new characters in the show.
Right. Yeah. I did see that.
I feel like you would have thoughts about her. But I have like a lot of thoughts and opinions about the four new characters that they added to the show.
Mm. I mean, I appreciate that they tried to, like, put more diversity into it. Because, like, obviously, watching this show in retrospect, you're like, God, this show is white. It's just so
very much
overly white, like, in a way.
Very much like Girls and Friends, where they're like, right. They were trying to show, like, a white person's version of New York, where... I'm like, you're not going to see only that many that, like.
Here's the thing, though, with Girls, I'm like, it's just less forgivable because.
It came later.
Come on. It was fucking like 2010. Like.
Yeah.
Obama was president. Like,
right.
What the fuck are you doing? Like, at least in the 90s, they had the excuse of like. Not the excuse, but I'm like, okay, we just, you know, we had our black television and we had our white television and, you know.
Yeah.
That was that.
At least they tried to do a little bit more, they tried at least with Sex and the City, because, I mean, Miranda did date that black guy for a while. Not to say that's like the only person of color in that ever came across the series, but he was there for a while.
Yeah. No, there were like random bit characters that came in that were like, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you had your gays as well.
Yeah, actually, I think, didn't Samantha date a black guy too or something? Because like his, because I remember the episode where they went to a restaurant and the sister was like a chef.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That was like an arc, I think, for her. Like, it was like a couple episodes where she was dating this guy. She like really loved him. And then was the sister,
I think his sister
a chef?
Didn't like.
Or was
yeah,
he a chef?
Yeah, I think the sister was a chef and she didn't like
Samantha. Yeah, she hated Samantha. Yeah. And that was why they broke up. Because he was, like, more valued his sister's opinion of her.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, I do remember that now. And that was, like, a very, like, they actually talked about it racially and not just, like, oh, it's just a random, like, black guy.
Yeah. That was a good arc. There's a lot of good stuff there. A lot of good. I think that's why the series still holds up, which is why it's been getting a lot of rewatch, especially since people are like, I don't want to pay for Max. So being on Netflix.
Yeah. Just steal your mom's like I do. Come on, guys.
Right. Or bundle your Hulu.
Okay. Are you sponsored? What is going on? First of all, are you getting sponsored without me? Because I'd be really mad.
No.
Now mentioned it twice at the beginning of the episode and at the end.
No, it is.
Guys, completely bundle your Hulu. Disney Plus.
Completely unsponsored.
I get that all along.
If they do want to give us a sponsorship after this, I would openly welcome it.
One of the biggest streaming networks is going to now sponsor
our tiny podcast after hearing this one sound bit. I would love that. That would be a little bit too iconic, don't you think?
We just go from 0 to 60 really fast. All of a sudden we have all these listeners. We're like, uh-oh, fuck.
Uh-oh, consistency.
Oh shit, they're gonna find out we suck.
What happened to fun?
You actually start writing outlines.
We'll see if that ever happens.
Yeah. What a good time.
New York, New York. It's what a hell of a town.
Concrete jungle. Dreams are made up.
Concrete jungle. Wet dream tomato.
Wet dream tomato.
There's nothing you can do.
And on that note.
Thank you so much for joining us on this journey through Sex and the City.
And the City.
We have been your hosts. Usually this is where we try and figure out what we're going to do for the next episode. But do we be mysterious and let everyone wonder?
Leave it up to fate. I couldn't help but wonder.
I couldn't help but wonder. Actually, did you guys know that Sex and the City is a sequel series to Gossip Girl? Just a complete lie.
Carrie is actually Dan.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Some people are settling down. Some people are settling. And some people refuse to settle for anything less.